Hello and welcome to the Manager Mojo Show. Steve Caldwell here, and we're so glad that you're here. We use our mojo to really become greater leaders. Now, let's get started by listening to something good. Oh, I feel good. I knew that. Want to make 2017 your best year ever? Then let me be your teacher, your mentor. I've prepared special courses and webinars for you that will help you succeed and to give you access directly to me. Go to mojouniversity.com and sign up today. You have nothing to lose. Try me for 30 days, and if you aren't satisfied, I guarantee you a full refund, no questions asked. Don't go it alone. Let me be your guide at mojouniversity.com. Be successful today. Oh, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got you. Hello and welcome everyone to the Manager Mojo Show. Steve Caldwell here, and I'm thrilled to introduce our special guest today. Our special guest is Michael Kerr. Now, Michael is a Hall of Fame international business speaker who travels the world researching, writing, and speaking about inspiring workplace cultures. And he talks about how businesses leverage their humor resources to achieve outrageous results. Michael's ideas on building great workplace cultures have been featured in Forbes, Fast Company, Business Insider, and hundreds of other publications worldwide. Michael is the author of 6 books, including Inspiring Workplaces, and most recently, The Humor Advantage, Why Some Businesses Are Laughing All the Way to the Bank. Michael's a native of Canada, and Michael, welcome to the Manager Mojo Show.
Well, thank you. It's fabulous to be here.
Well, it's great to have you, and I look forward to our discussion today. But before we get started with that, why don't you share with our listeners what fun thing that you've been up to lately outside of work?
Outside of work, what fun thing? Well, I live in the beautiful, spectacular Canadian Rockies, and we just had the most awesome fresh dump of snow the last few days. So the last very fun thing I was up to was out cross-country skiing in this just beautiful, majestic scenery. So that's my most recent thing, and a contrast from my last fun thing, which was a holiday with my wife down to Cuba for a few weeks, enjoying the food and culture and music and sun and hot weather there. So it's been an interesting contrast from the,
well,
you know.
That is a huge contrast, and I could handle the food and sun much better, but I have to tell you, skiing in snow would not be skiing for me. It would be dying in snow. I am not very proficient at skiing, but I know it must be absolutely gorgeous. So it sounds like
it is. yes, but it's been quite the contrast going from about, well, now we're in Canada, so it's Celsius here, of course, but we went from plus 30 in Cuba to about minus 30 today. So it's,
oh my goodness,
a little bit of a shock to the system.
Yeah, I'm a little cold just thinking about that. So, Michael, let's get off into our topic today. I'm really looking forward to our conversation because I do believe that we live in the age of business has become almost boring in its monotony to a lot of people. And I know that you work with companies and individuals to try to create a positive culture in business. So what I'd like to start with is, if you don't mind, give us your definition of just what is this thing called culture in a business?
Yeah, this amorphous beast called culture that everybody stresses is so important. And I think there's so many different definitions to. The way I define culture is simply this. It is not the what you do in your business. It's how you do the things you do. It's how you work together as a team. It's how you communicate. It's how you bring your values to life. It's your DNA. It's your business personality. I think you can think of it as that. And it's the unique set of values, rituals, traditions, behaviors that make your business unique from everyone else.
Awesome. That's a great way to define culture. And I like that, the how you do, not what you do. You know, we've all seen companies that have productive cultures, but maybe they aren't so much fun. So tell us about humor and why, how humor can actually help us create that positive culture that will increase productivity.
Yeah, and I think you're right, and I hear this from my clients all the time too. You know, people say, you know, we used to have fun. Whatever happened? Like, what happened to that fun we used to have? How did it die along the way somewhere?
Yeah, we said that when we were children too, didn't we, Michael?
Oh yeah, absolutely, Steve. But yeah. So I think we sometimes just forget the importance of it.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my starting point when I talk about fun and humor in a culture. I think we have to remember there's a chicken and egg relationship there, that humor can both help drive better success in a business and a more positive, inspiring culture, but it also reflects a positive, inspiring culture. So I think when companies, when businesses are doing those things they need to do to build a rocking culture, you know, we're treating each other with respect, where there's high levels of trust and open and honest communication, and where your values aren't just nice cliche sayings on a pretty poster, but they actually mean something. So in other words, you built a want-to workplace culture instead of a have-to kind of culture, right, where you're mm-hmm. dragging yourself into work on a Monday morning. If you're doing all those things properly, then it becomes easy, I think, to have fun and bring a sense of humor and a good attitude along for the ride. So there's a chicken and egg relationship. But again, getting back to that central idea of how humor can help your culture, I think it's multifaceted, and there's so many ways. We know from research that when you bring more humor into the workplace, people tend to be more creative and innovative. There's a huge relationship between humor and creativity. People tend to connect better and communicate in a more positive way. It helps our messages stand out from the herd when we deliver them with a little bit of humor. And when we communicate with humor, it just helps us be more authentic, more real. So studies have suggested there's a big correlation between humor and trust in the workplace. We tend to trust people who share a healthy sense of humor. And trust has to be a basic component of any healthy culture, I think. We know humor helps to manage stress. We know it can help us provide more inspiring, interesting customer service to our customers. In studies, it's been shown time and time again that cultures that embrace a positive sense of humor tend to have lower employee absenteeism rates and lower employee turnover rates. So there's all sorts of benefits to bringing more humor into the workplace. And just that general just atmosphere in the workplace too, where we want to show up and we want to contribute our ideas and be loyal, because it's a fun place to work. It's a fun place to hang out. So the impact that humor can have on our morale and motivation in the workplace is huge, you know? And as I remind my audiences, my clients, you know, we have to remember that work is a huge, huge factor in our lives. It affects our mental and physical health and our marriages and our family lives. And it's just a wee bit of a time sucker. So I think we owe it to the people we're working with. We owe it to our clients and customers, our employees, our families. We owe it to our souls to create as positive, as rocking, as fun a workplace as possible. And you know, the way I look at it, none of us are going to be sitting on our rocking chair at 103 years old, looking back on our lives and looking back to our work lives and thinking to ourselves, man, if I had to do it all over again, I would take myself more seriously. I'd be more of a fun sucker and work in a more soul sucking, fun sucking workplace.
That's so true. Maybe some would, but they're certainly they would be very few. I get it. But I guess also, Michael, I mean, I hear the CFO sitting on my shoulder saying, what's all this fun crap about? I don't get that. What and the humorless. So give us some examples of how even small things can actually lift and inspire other people.
Yeah, you bet. And one of the things that I stress to people, and especially recognizing that, there are some pretty serious people in out there in the business world, and so I really, really stress, look, this is not about being unprofessional in any way. It's about learning to take ourselves lightly and the things we have no control over in our work lives lightly in order to do our jobs more effectively. And there's a world of difference between those things. And it's not about being an extrovert, and it's not about being the office clown or a stand-up comedian or telling jokes. It's just about having that, broader global sense of humor where we are able to laugh at the stuff so we don't get stressed out over every tiny little thing. And it's about just being more authentic and more real so we do connect with each other at a better level. And so there's all sorts of simple things that you can do. I think in the Humor Advantage book, my latest book, I've got probably over 500 examples of little things companies do, big things. But it can be as simple as what some companies do. They create a humor first aid kit and stockpile it with funny resources to give people a little boost when they're feeling stressed out. If you're feeling overwhelmed or you have a serious emergency, then different companies have all sorts of different things in their humor first aid kits. It might be funny props you can put on or a funny book you can tap into for a few minutes. There's all sorts of simple things you can do, like celebrating theme days. And I'm a huge fan, and so many of the cultures I study around the world, the positive ones, they are all big believers in traditions and rituals, because traditions and rituals help define our culture. They give employees something to look forward to and something to reminisce about, and they create that sense of shared team experience that becomes part of their culture, part of their identity. So look for opportunities to just create some simple little rituals that are fun. It could be something to kick off the work week with or end the work week with. It could be celebrating those offbeat theme days. I put these on my calendar, or every day of the year there's something goofy. I mean, September 19th is International Talk Like a Pirate Day, for example. So even if it's just mentioning on a whiteboard at the entrance to your office, hey, happy International, Talk Like a Pirate Day, or Left-Handers Day, or Answer Your Cat's Question Day, whatever goofy theme day it is. Or making up your own theme days. And again, I've seen examples. One of my favorite ones, because it's so simple and yet so goofy, but in a good way, goofy in an effective way. This one company that does third person Thursdays. So everybody talks about themselves, but in the third person all day. So if I was there, I'd be referring to myself, like, hey, Mike's looking forward to the meeting this afternoon. Mike has some great ideas. And how could you not walk around with a smile on your face all day when people are doing that? So it's simple, but it's effective. Another client, and this, talking about your CFO on the shoulder example, I do a lot of work with accountants, and I do CFO leadership programs. And one thing with one accounting client of mine that worked very well, because they do tend to be more introverted. So very simple ritual tradition that they started doing: every Friday, they all wear name tags, just those little peel off, hello, my name is. And every week there's a different theme. So they answer a different question, put it on the name tag, and then just put it on their shirt. And they said it's phenomenal how much that just changes the atmosphere, the mood, the dynamic. You're walking down the hallway, and of course everybody is scanning everyone's name tag, and it creates these fun conversations. So it might be anything from, everybody this Friday, just we want everybody to put their middle name down. So we'll learn everybody's middle name, or what your favorite food is, or your favorite, whatever, your favorite song, what year you were born, just all this trivia stuff. So they connect at a fun personal level. So there's lots of ways to inject a little fun in terms of rituals and traditions. The other thing I'm a big fan of is looking for opportunities to have some fun in your meetings, because meetings are, I think, a great place to build your culture. And they're also a place where your culture is reflected. So again, there's that chicken and egg relationship, right? If you want a rocking, fun, creative culture, then your meetings better be rocking, fun, and creative. So look for some opportunities there to have some fun in your meetings. Maybe it's kicking off your meeting with some fun, goofy ritual or some goofy noisemaker. Maybe it's asking a weird question as an icebreaker at the start of your meeting. Maybe it's, you know, introducing the wave into your meetings or just doing something just a little bizarre, having a theme meeting. I once, many, many years ago and these were all senior managers, we did a theme meeting where everybody brought in and wore headlamps. So we all had to wear headlamps, and the way it worked was, and it was so fun, but it was great. We still got all our stuff done. We had a great brainstorming session, but the way it worked was, you could only talk or contribute an idea once you had turned on your headlight. So we're all sitting around this boardroom table, and then suddenly you'd see a light come on at the end of the table, and then it was fabulous. So looking for opportunities to inject some fun into your meetings is a really important thing, I think, to do, to because it's one of the few times, right, where we're all together in our team, and we want to have those good quality conversations. In fact, there was a study last year, maybe 2 years ago now, in Scientific America even, that suggested that those meetings that have high levels of fun and humor and lots of bantering and joking around were more effective meetings. People were more willing to speak up, there was more open communication, and there was better ideas generated. So big fan of looking for humor opportunities in meetings.
Well, I personally just believe that you almost have to have a goal every day of having some fun, if you're actually going to be intentional about creating a fun atmosphere.
Absolutely, like anything else. If we don't plan for it or make it a goal, like you say, then it's not going to happen. And that's one thing I encourage my clients to do as well, is to set up even a fun social calendar that's separate from their business commitments, or to commit to a certain amount of fun events per quarter. Some of my clients have had great success as well creating a culture or humor committee at work. They don't call it a committee because that tends to suck the fun out of it.
Yeah, when you start organizing fun, it's usually like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah. But one of my clients, you know, they created this, and it's a volunteer position. I forget the title they gave it. I think Director of Humor Resources. And so it's a volunteer position, and it rotates on a quarterly basis.
That's cool.
So the person just does it for a few months on top of their other duties. They get a small budget, and they actually have to create a little bit of a plan on how they're going to inject a little bit of fun and humor into the culture. And they've had great success with it, and it's just kind of helped kept it on the radar and helped them create some fun experiences, some fun ideas, and just even that as a starting point, just to kind of get people, you know, used to it and thinking about it and get that domino effect going, so that just becomes second nature to, okay, yeah, we're gonna work hard, but not take ourselves too seriously.
Well, I think it's very important, and I enjoy working with business leaders that really do, they don't take themselves quite so seriously, and they've learned how to relax a little bit in their job. I had recently, I'll tell you this, you'll get a kick out of this one. This guy is trying to find the right person to lead a group of people in his organization. And, you know, he's struggling trying to find the right person, but he's still got his sense of humor. And when I asked him if he had somebody in mind, he said he didn't have any idea. And he asked me if I was looking for a job. He said, I can promise you cold weather and long hours and lots of harassment. It was a great line.
Awesome. That's great. Well, and that, you know, that reminds me too. I've seen probably half a dozen examples in my research over the last few years of help wanted ads, career ads, where they've been brutally honest, you know, in a very funny way. And every single one of those examples, I've contacted all the people who put out these ads, and they said, "Yep, every time we do that, like we write these ads, like, you know, you're gonna suffer your way to a, and you have to have skin the thickness of an alligator," and it just paints this bleak picture, but every in a funny way. And every single time they said, we got 20 times the response rate, 30 times the response rate,
Well,
because
it's understanding that you're a genuine you have a genuine understanding of what the real work is. And
exactly. and
that's an
and that
awesome thing.
and it builds trust, right? Because you
Yeah.
realize, okay, these guys are being honest, they're being real.
Now, you know, these are all great suggestions, Michael, and I know in your latest book, The Humor Advantage, Why Businesses or Why Some Businesses Are Laughing All the Way to the Bank. Why don't you just share, if you don't mind, a couple of things that really that you discovered in writing that book? How are they benefiting by pocketing more profits?
And I think I touched on some of those certainly, but you look at companies like one example that I talk about in my book is a manufacturing company up here in Canada called Argus Industries, and great culture, and they have this great mantra that I think every one of us should steal, and it's simply this: that work is hard enough as it is without making it any harder. So let's work hard, let's set ambitious goals for ourselves, but hey, let's have fun while we're doing this. And so that's their kind of overriding philosophy for business. And they have this great culture, all sorts of fun things they do. For example, they have this great tradition where, and it just started out of nowhere, where an employee shows up with a gorilla costume, hides somewhere, waiting to scare another employee, while another employee secretly videotapes the frightened reaction. And so they do this same time of year. They create this montage video of all these frightened reactions, and it's just become this goofy part of their culture. Now, that is just one of literally probably dozens and dozens of things that they do to be intentional about their culture and intentional about bringing a little fun along for the ride. But when you talk about this idea of laughing all the way to the bank, well, that's a classic example where because they have been so intentional on their culture, since they kind of worked on this culture like this, their sales have increased every year by phenomenal amounts, and they have literally in the last 10 years 0% employee turnover rate. Like
Wow.
nobody has left, which is a huge cost that companies sometimes don't realize. And so you see examples like this: Beryl Health Call Centers, based out of Bedford, Texas. I spent some time with them, and they have a phenomenal culture, huge, huge focus on hiring for attitude, hiring for fun, embracing fun, and embracing a positive, family-friendly culture. Their human resources manager at Beryl has the alternative job title, the Queen of Fun and Laughter. So you know you're in a little bit of a different place. Now, and I love this example because call centers, let's face it, pretty brutal environment. They don't have the best reputation out there, high employee turnover rates, challenging work environment. And yet, Beryl, compared to the industry norm, and in some markets, I've seen employee turnover rates of more than 100%. More than 100%. That means I think people are showing up on day one, looking in the window and going, I don't think so. This isn't for me.
Well, I
But
actually have worked with companies when I started with them. They had over 400% turnover.
yeah, there you
So
go.
it's like, oh my gosh, it's a train wreck. So I get it totally.
So Beryl, compared to an industry norm of 100% in some markets, theirs is down in the low teens,
That's awesome.
and they make five times the profits of all their competitors. And they, as so many of my clients that I interview, the companies that I research around the planet, they're convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is their culture. And one of the questions I ask leaders around the world too, that I always ask them, is just this: what do you think's more been more important to your success, your strategy or your culture? And 98%, easily without missing a beat, have said, oh, it's our culture. Culture is everything. Culture is how we pulled ourselves out of a funk. Culture is how we staved off near bankruptcy and turned mm-hmm. this company around. Culture is how we, you know, it's always culture. And so Beryl Health Call Centers, you see this intentional focus on culture that has just driven phenomenal, phenomenal bottom line business results for their company.
Those are awesome examples, and thanks for sharing them. Michael, I know people are going to want to connect with you and learn more about the work that you do with companies. How can people connect with you and learn more about your work?
Yeah, thank you for that. My main website is www.humoratwork.com, or Mike Kerr gets you there, mikekerr.com, mikekerr.com. And I've got all sorts of articles and resources there. I'd certainly invite people to sign up. We have a free weekly newsletter e-zine that goes out every Wednesday that talks about inspiring workplace cultures, lots of great ideas in there, a little bit of inspiration, a little bit of fun. And if people sign up for the e-zine, they get a free bonus ebook, 340 Ways to Put Humor to Work. So lots of ideas there, too. So if anybody wants to connect with me, they can connect through the website, and I'm happy to answer any questions or offer any additional resources that I can.
Well, for those of you that happen to be exercising right now while you're listening to us talk today, we'll make sure to put a link in the show notes to make it easy to find Mike's website. Mike, as we close today, what would be the top three action items that you would like for people to take based upon your work and your experience?
Well, number one, I would suggest just go back and start that conversation in your workplace. If you think this is important, if you're not having as much fun as you used to, and you can see the real value in this, and I hope that you do, then take this conversation back to your workplace, to your boss, to your team, and carve out some time to talk about this. And even if it's not just fun per se, talk about your culture as a starting point. You know, how is our culture? Do a culture checkup. Ask some tough questions. You know, I always say it's too late if you're doing an exit interview. What companies need to do more of, I think, is that what will keep you here interview, and what will keep you happy and pumped and motivated and creative. So take this back to your workplace and start the conversation. Second thing I would suggest is just look for some simple ideas that can start you off. And maybe it's one of those traditions I talked about. What could you do just on a weekly basis, even just something once a week to start slowly, that will inject a little bit more fun into your workplace? And time and time again, I've seen simple little ideas create a domino effect where it just spreads through a team or through a culture. So look for those simple little things. And number three, I guess I would just think about ways you can also bring this back to your family and to your personal life. I think we sometimes forget the importance of that as well, and make sure that we're having fun in all aspects of our life, with our kids, with our spouses, with our families, and friends, and just, you know, ask yourself, what am I having as much fun as I used to, and what could I do to be bringing a little more fun, a little bit more humor into my life?
Michael, those are outstanding tips for all of us, and I certainly thank you so much for sharing with us today. Our guest has been Michael Kerr, and Michael is the author of The Humor Advantage, Why Some Businesses Are Laughing All the Way to the Bank. Michael, thanks again for being with us, and we wish you continued success and much, much happiness.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Steve here, and one last reminder. I want to thank you for listening to the show, and want to encourage you, go over to mojouniversity.com. Before you forget it, make sure you sign up for our training site, and let me be your teacher this year. I promise you, you're going to be successful. You're going to love it. Go to mojouniversity.com and sign up today.